Our first scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Psalms. We'll be reading Psalm 126, which is found on page 537 of your pew Bibles. Let us listen to God's word for us. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. He that goes forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Our gospel lesson will come from the Gospel of John. This morning we'll be reading from chapter 12 of John's gospel, reading verses 1 through 8. And it is found on page 936 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with them. And Mary took a pound of costly ointment of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to take what was put into it. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." It's the word of the Lord. We are continuing our Lenten journey. We are inching towards Jerusalem with Jesus. It's important to keep note of where Jesus is this morning. He is in Bethany, which is just a few miles down the road from Jerusalem. If you visit Israel today and go to Bethany, they will tell you the meaning of the name Bethany. It means house of figs because of the many fig trees that are in that location. But Bethany also has another meaning. It can also mean house of the afflicted. But whatever you want to call it, that is where Jesus is at in our reading this morning. He is in Bethany. It is the second time that Jesus has been in Bethany in as many chapters. In the previous chapter, chapter 11, Jesus goes to Bethany in order to raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days when Jesus came and called him out of the grave. "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus stepped forth into the sweet sunshine of life. John tells us that it is because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead that the authorities decide that Jesus will have to die. It's one thing to heal people and to cast out demons, but to add the power of life is too much for the authorities to be able to stand. And so not only do they resolve to kill Jesus, but they also resolve to kill Lazarus as well. But instead of being deterred, Jesus goes back to Bethany, back to the house of the afflicted, back to share a meal with his good friends Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. It's one of the things I always appreciate about Jesus. He was always eating and drinking, always sharing a meal around someone's table, always partying. And I'm sure that's what he was doing there with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. They were partying, celebrating the fact that Lazarus, who was dead, is now alive again. It's probably a lot of dancing, a lot of singing. Maybe they were even singing the psalm that we read this morning. When the Lord restored our fortunes, we were like those who dream. Have you ever had one of those dreams where someone who has died has been restored to you? Maybe it was a deceased parent or grandparent. Maybe it was a beloved husband or wife. Maybe it was a dear brother or sister or friend. They're gone, but they have come back to you in your dream. You have dreamed about them, and in your dream, they were very much alive and present with you. And then you woke up and realized that it was only a dream, but oh, how you wish they were still there. How you wish they were still with you now. How much you wish they were alive again for you to love and to cherish and to laugh with and to fellowship with, and perhaps to say to them things that you wish you would have told them while they were still alive. But Lazarus is no dream. Jesus has raised him from the dead, and he is at table with Jesus and Mary and Martha and the rest of the disciples, and they are celebrating the power of life over death. But it's there where, in the midst of this celebration, that Mary does something strange. Mary pulls out a bottle of expensive ointment. We are told that it's at least 300 denarii, which would be around $30,000 to $40,000 in today's money. And she takes this very expensive ointment that she must have been saving for all of her life, and she pours it out on the Lord's feet and begins to anoint the Lord's feet with this expensive ointment. And as the sweet fragrance begins to waft through the room, she takes her hair and she begins to wipe the ointment from the Lord's feet. To be honest, it's a very sensuous public display of affection. It was something that no self-respecting woman would have done back then. No self-respecting woman would have even touched a man in public, let alone to pour ointment on his feet and to anoint and to rub his feet. And yet, that is what Mary does. But that's not what concerns everyone. What everyone is concerned about was the sheer extravagance, the sheer costliness of Mary's devotion and love for Jesus. That perfume no doubt represented all that she had. It represented her very life, and there she was pouring it all out for Jesus, wasting it on a sensuous, unbridled act of devotion and love. I suspect we all know people like Mary. In fact, where would the church be without people like Mary, people who are willing to pour themselves out, to give their very best in devotion to God. Sometimes it's the people who have the least who sometimes give the best of what they have. I remember talking to a pastor not long ago who takes mission trips sometimes to Haiti, and he was talking about visiting one of the poorest cities in Haiti, and when he gets there every Sunday, he's amazed that people show up in their Sunday best. The men wear suits, the women wear dresses, they're all dressed up in their Sunday best because they are giving their best to God. That doesn't mean that I expect everyone to come in a suit and dress, so don't go back and say Randy wants us to come with suits and dresses, but it's just to point out that some people give their very best to God. And that's what Mary does. She pours out this very expensive fragrance, and she wastes it, you might say, pouring it out on the Lord's feet. I suspect that many of us are probably a lot like Judas, at least in what he was thinking when he witnessed this display of extravagance. Despite his motives, many of us probably would agree. Why are you spending and wasting this fragrance on Jesus' feet when the money could be used and given to the poor? I know I've said that a lot. Various things that I see sometimes going on in the presbytery, things that I see money being spent on. Think of all the things, the wonderful things we could do with $30,000 or $40,000. That's what Judas must have been thinking. We could fund the homeless shelter. We could buy books for children, needed supplies for children. We could make Christmas baskets and we could send them overseas. Think of all the wonderful things we could do for the poor. And yet here Mary is wasting this gift by pouring it out on the feet of Jesus. I agree a little bit with Judas there. I remember several years ago, one of the churches that I was a part of had a debate about whether or not they should have air conditioning. Sanctuary was a big sanctuary like this one. It got hot in the summertime, and someone proposed on the session that the church ought to get air conditioning because so many people were complaining about how hot it was, and there was a big debate in the church about whether they should have air conditioning. And there was a party that said, if we get air conditioning in the church, then I'm going to leave the church because we believe that the money should be spent on the poor. And I remember being self-righteously in that camp. So I hear what Judas is saying here a little bit. But Jesus says, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Because the poor you will have with you always. But you will not always have me. And I kind of wish that Jesus wouldn't have said that, because people have often taken that passage and they have used it as a reason as to why they should be parsimonious when it comes to helping the poor. But what Jesus was actually doing was he was quoting Deuteronomy 15, where it says, the poor in the land you will always have. There will always be poor in the land. So open your hands towards them. There will always be poor people. You'll always have an opportunity to help the poor. You'll always have an opportunity to be engaged with the poor. That's what we do. We are all about the poor. Indeed, when you read the Gospels, you find that Jesus is all about the poor. Wherever there are poor people, Jesus is there. Wherever you find poor people, people who are poor in spirit, people who are poor in health, people who are poor in hope, people who are poor in material resources, wherever you find the poor, Jesus is there. That's what he came for, to bring good news to the poor. But Jesus says, leave her alone. Because Jesus knows that Mary sees something that no one else has taken the time to see. Mary sees and knows that Jesus' days are numbered, that Jesus will soon be killed, that Jesus will give his life for the sake of the world. And so she takes the most expensive thing that she has and she pours it out on his feet, and she anoints him in an extravagant act of self-giving love. I believe that one of the things that Jesus is inviting us to consider in this text is to be attentive, to pay attention. Pay attention to the Jesus that is in those who are close to us, to those that we love and cherish and care for. Pay attention to the people who are around us, because we won't always have them with us. It's easy sometimes for us to take people for granted, to believe that they will always be around, to believe that we can always count on them being there for us. But Jesus says, pay attention, because we will not always have the people that we love and care for with us. We will not always have our mothers, our fathers. We will not always have our beloved spouses. We will not always have those dear friends. They will not always be with us. There's a song that I used to like many, many years ago that I used to play quite often by James Taylor, I believe. It's called Shower the People You Know, Shower the People You Love with Love. Show them the way that you feel. And sometimes we get so busy with our lives, get so wrapped up in what we are doing, get so busy with abstractions that we don't stop to take the time to shower the people that we love with love. We don't take the time to let people know, to communicate to people that we love them and care about them. But Jesus says to pay attention. Pay attention to each other. Pay attention to the people that you love. And that ought to be, that circle ought to be an ever expanding circle. Pay attention, because they will not always be here. We are, all of us, people who live in the house of affliction. We are people who live and operate under the shadow of death. We are people whose time is short. I always like to look at some of the postings on my Facebook page, and every once in a while, actually quite often, people will post a tribute or a memorial to someone that they have lost, usually a parent. But it's always the same. I wish that person were here now. I wish I had that person with me right now. I wish I had Mama or Daddy with me now. And Jesus is telling us that we need to pay attention to the people that are in our lives right now. Because we're all in the house of the afflicted. And we need to value the people that are close to us right now. Not just when they die, not after they die, but to let them know that we love them and care for them right now. Of course, we're reminded that death is not the last word for any of us, that our horizons are not necessarily conditioned by the power of death. Like Lazarus, we too have been promised that one day we will also be raised from the dead. Not because of anything we can do for ourselves, but because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for all of us. It is Jesus who poured himself out for all of us. It was God through Christ who gave the very best that God had. Jesus emptied himself, gave his life for ours, poured himself out so that we might have life. And we are called to celebrate that. To celebrate that, to give God thanks for that, and not only to celebrate that, but to reciprocate that love in the way that we love each other. I don't know if Mary's example here had any influence on Jesus, but in the next chapter, chapter 13, Jesus himself will take a towel and he will wash the feet of his disciples. He will wash their feet just as Mary washed their feet. And he will say, "This is my commandment, that you love one another. Take my example, what I am doing for you, and do it for one another." It was the example that Mary herself set by washing the feet of Jesus. We are called, of course, to continue that example of love. We are called to remember and to pay attention to the God, the image of God in one another. We are called to live into the good news that because Jesus emptied himself for all of us, that one day we too, like Lazarus, will be at table with one another, worshiping and praising the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and giving God the glory that because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we now have life. And have that life in abundance. But in the meantime, we too are called to pay attention. Pay attention. Love one another. Value one another. Don't take each other for granted, because we will not always have the Jesus that is in each and every one of you, that is in each and every one of us. We will not always have that Jesus with us. So love each other and shower each other with extravagant acts of self-giving love. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have called us to be followers of the one who gave himself for each and every one of us. You have given us an example of how we too are to live. By the way Jesus poured himself out, that we too are to give the very best that we have to one another and to you. Help us to be examples of self-giving for the sake of the world. Help us not only to dream of a better world, but help us to live that dream out right now. The dream that is good news for the poor, good news for the afflicted, good news for all of us who live under the shadow of death. Help us to be your people now as we continue to live in to the promise of your glorious future. That one day we too will be made new, and that the power of death will be broken in our own lives and will be broken in the world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.